County,
Cartmel,
Lonsdale,
Holland,
Furness,
Bile,
Grisdale,
Kendal,
Graduate,
the UK, Europe, and the world.
Live across Lancaster University, this is Bailrig FM News.
87.7 Bailrig FM, your campus radio station.
The week's top stories.
End in sight for Anglo-French beef bans. £40 million redevelopment for Lancaster under threat. Armed robbery committed at local bargain booth store. And Lancaster students march on London in protest of fees.
I'm Nicola Jones. The Anglo-French beef ban could be coming to an end, so said the Prime Ministers of both countries yesterday at a meeting in Downing Street. Both British and French governments have approved a document on solving the beef situation. All that remains now is for the French Food Agency to approve the document, and British beef could be on sale in France, labelled specifically as being from Britain. However, if beef does once again appear on French supermarket shelves, it will be the French consumers themselves who will truly decide whether British beef is welcome again in France. While the average student might have trouble making ends meet, a report published yesterday revealed that on average, Britons for the first time are spending more money now on leisure than on necessities such as food and housing. The figures, which were compiled from 6,600 spending diaries kept throughout the country, showed that leisure spending is up to 17% from 9% 30 years ago. The nation is spending 25% more on mobile phones than last year, but spending on the lottery has dropped by 17%. Underwater and frozen, those are the two climatic predictions made in two reports published this week. If the sea level rises as predicted, the next 50 years could see towns in the southeast of England submerged, a report said yesterday. The south could also be in for hot, dry summers as temperatures rise due to global warming. However, a separate report, also based on the effects of global warming, sees a colder climate on the way for Western Europe. The Atlantic Ocean current, which keeps our winters mild, is being disrupted, scientists found, and if turned off, Britain and Western Europe could have to endure the same frozen winters as Russia and Canada. I'm Nicola Jones with Bailrig FM's World and National News.
87.7 Bailrig FM.
Bailrig FM News.
A proposed £40 million redevelopment for Lancaster City is now under threat from English Heritage as they fight to retain the listed Kingsway Bath and Bus Depot. For most citizens of the city, the buildings are rated as an eyesore, but English Heritage have described them as national architectural treasures. An armed robbery was committed on the Haler Estate last Friday evening. A man wearing a balaclava stole a small amount of money from the three-week-old bargain booths on Lentworth Drive, whilst apparently brandishing a small handgun. The police are appealing for witnesses and have now charged a man in connection with the robbery. The two women working the shop at the time have vowed to continue working there despite the incident. Last night was the grand opening of Liquid, Lancaster's new £1.3 million nightclub. The club will open on Thursday, Friday and Saturday nights and on Mondays during student term time. Two university students, Gareth and Dre, went to the opening night and had this to say.
Right, the opening night at Liquid, the new nightclub, the Lancaster's newest nightclub, was for me personally, it was a little bit of a letdown. Although the venue itself was different to anything Lancaster has to offer at the moment. It's sort of in the form of what you would describe it, art deco meets a bit of pop art. It is pleasant surroundings, but so far being a new club, it hasn't really got the atmosphere.
The atmosphere was not created because the club's a bit too light. The Sugar House has the blackness and that's kind of a bit concealing, which is better. But on the first few nights, there's a bit too much tension between locals and a few students, and the club will be top in a few weeks when the novelty's worn off with the locals.
I'm Nicola Jones of Bailrig FM's local news.
Under Atkins, some of the special report on Thursday's tuition fees march in London. Yesterday saw 15,000 students descending on London from throughout the country, including Lancaster, to march in protest against tuition fees. Here's what a few of the students who attended the march had to say.
What else can you do? I mean, it's a ridiculous state of affairs that
new students that now have to pay fees to study. I mean, I don't pay fees personally, but I do believe that nobody should, so that's why I came along today.
What do we want?
Free education!
What do we want?
Now!
There was really quite a feeling of euphoria amongst the students. So many people packed into such a small place. It was really an excellent example of solidarity in action. Some of the motorists were really into it. We were asking them to bib the horns, and they were really, you know, cheering and giving us a thumbs up, whereas others were really not very happy. So one London bus conductor actually put two fingers up out of his window and told us all to F off.
I think it was absolutely fantastic. People complain about student apathy all the time, but today 15,000 students from all over England got off their arses and came down to London to show this government exactly how pissed off they are with the fact that they have to pay for their education, which, as far as they all can see, is a basic right and not something that they should be charged with. It's discriminatory and it's stopping people coming to university, and I think today we prove just how angry and just how disillusioned the students are about that.
Bowery 87.7 FM.
And now with all the latest sports news, here's Bowery FM sports correspondent Paul Turner.
The England cricket team suffered a devastating start to their 5-test series in South Africa, being bowled out for only 122 runs in their first innings and losing prime strike bowler Darren Goff with a knee injury after lunch this afternoon. Goff was one of only five England players to reach double figures in a first innings, which saw England lose Michael Atherton, Nasser Hussain, Alex Stewart and Gavin Hamilton, each without scoring runs. The innings got off to a dreadful start when four wickets fell with just two runs on the board, and only a partnership of 56 between Yorkshire's Michael Vaughan and Lancashire's Andy Flintoff gave England any hope of putting together a decent score. It wasn't to be, however, as both batsmen fell with England on only 90 runs, leaving the tail once again to put England past the 100-run mark. Only 10 runs from Alan Mullally and a score of 15 not out for Darren Goff saw England reach even this small milestone. South Africa were quick to capitalise on England's lacklustre batting performance, passing their score with only two wickets falling, both to Alan Mullally. Lance Gibbs went on to make 85 in a 96-run partnership with Daryl Conan before falling to Goff. Goff, who missed this summer series with New Zealand, has since left the field clutching an ice pack to his knee and causing fears among the England camp that they may be without it for some time. South Africans have now moved on past the 300 mark with only 5 wickets down, and Cullinan passing his century off 159 balls with 16 fours before beating out for 108 runs. If England are to have any hope of coming back into this match, then they need to show the type of resilience and determinism that has so far been absent from their performance. And now, here's Martin O'Boyle to news of how all our local football teams have been performing over the past week.
Lancaster and Morecambe both take part in the second round of the FA Trophy on Saturday against lower league opposition. Lancaster entertained Corby Town, a giant act, with manager Tony Hesketh enjoying the luxury of choosing from a full-strength squad. The Dollies will be welcoming right-back Farrell Kilbane from suspension, whilst injury worries Kevin Barnes and Phil Horner both came through the match against Guiseley without suffering any reactions. Lancaster are likely to start with Chris Ward and Kevin Barnes up front, leaving Neil Morton on the bench, and tough tackling midfielder Dean Martin is expected to get the nod ahead of left winger Paul Crompton. Lancaster secured their first double of the season last Saturday as they overcame Guiseley 2-0 at Giant Act with a hard-working and efficient performance. Teenage sensation Chris Ward powered home just before half-time, and Dean Martin made the game safe on 58 minutes with a close-range header. Chris Ward's goal was his 10th of the season, and whilst manager Tony Hesketh thinks that the 18-year-old is a tremendous prospect for the future, he admits that he still has a lot to learn. And two Lancaster City players have been chosen to represent the Unibon League to face the FA 11 next month. Defender Jamie Udall and midfielder Kenny Mayers are in the squad for the game, which takes place at Stalybridge Celtic on Monday, December the 8th.
We interviewed Lancaster City's assistant manager Barry Stimpson last week, and these are the comments that he made about the club and its future.
Last year, Bowery FM came and interviewed then assistant manager Mick Coyle. After we interviewed him, you didn't win for 4 months. Is this got to happen again?
No, we're confident that won't happen again. We think we've got a bit of a stronger squad than last year.
Well, at the moment, you've had a bad run since you got knocked out of the FA Cup by tonight's opponent, Bamber Bridge. Similar thing happened last year. You got knocked out by Northampton. Is that going to happen again?
I think if you look at the league record, we've only lost three league games. What we've got to address is we're drawn too many. We think after we've played 25 games in less than 12 weeks now, and I think it's shown a little bit jaded. We're looking forward to getting 2 nights a week on the training ground so we can work on one or two things and put them right.
The last time that you fielded the same side twice was in October, and early October at that. In fact, 12 players have made the first start for Lancaster since the start of the season. Do you think that the constant changes have had a negative effect on the side? And do you think that's it as far as incoming transfers are concerned now?
To answer the second part of your question, no, we never think it's enough. We're always on the lookout for a better quality of player. Going back to the first part of your question, it doesn't help for stability. Like you say, we went 14, 15 games unbeaten, and we've very rarely changed the side up until the time you mentioned. No, it doesn't help, but we feel that we've strengthened the squad. There's 17, 18 players, decent players now, fighting for the 11 places. And as I say, we get the lads back on the training ground. We haven't had a chance since the start of the season. It's just been game, game, game. Now we've got a chance to, one or two things that we feel we've fallen away, we'll hopefully redress on the training ground.
You yourself and Tony Hesketh, you've only come in within the last 12 months as well. Has that got a lot to do with the fact that the squad has changed substantially since this time last season?
I think so, yeah. I mean, Tony himself, through the summer, brought in 7 or 8 new signings, and they were new signings who were going into the first team, so it was a major overhaul from a very poor finish to back end of the season. Yeah, we were delighted with the start. Probably we started better than even ourselves expected. And now because we've had a little bit of a lull, and as I say only a little bit, we've still only lost 3 league games. Hopefully we can now get some stability.
Two of the most recent signings are Shane Jessop and Mark Bailey. How well do you think they're shaping up?
Mark Bailey, to start with, is a quality footballer. Mark will come in and he'll be excellent at this standard. Probably on tonight's performance, Mark will look a little bit of an unsung hero. He's worked absolutely relentlessly all night. I say on a poor night when, you know, we haven't played well, certainly for the last hour. But Mark Bailey's tenacity and his tackling and everything, and we think he'll be a great addition to the side, Mark. Going back to Shane Jessop, Shane's got a lot of raw ability. Shane himself knows that position-wise he is struggling at the moment in terms of, you know, where to be on the field, you know, when to receive the ball. He's also got a duty to defend. And again, to reiterate, going back to the training ground, we feel we can make Shane into a complete player. So at the moment, very exciting offensively, but you know, we need to work on other aspects of his game.
I'm sure it'll be a boost for the side to welcome back Chris Ward. He's done well since his emergence into first team football. How do you rate him as a player?
Yeah, you're right. Chris is 18 year old and only just 18. Sometimes we forget that. We're working with him week in, week out. He's scored 10, 11 goals now, which is an absolute brilliant return when you consider a lot of 18-year-old lads come out of the pro game, they've been released as apprentices and what have you. Chris has come from local football, so the strides he's made is absolutely superb. But again, we've got 3 or 4 other strikers who are vying for them 2 places, so I mean, Chris knows himself that he isn't a guaranteed place in the first team, but certainly there's a lot of potential there, and I say it just turned 18. We're obviously delighted to have him on board.
You've won 2 league matches away from home, you've drawn a lot. Why do you think Lancaster are such bad travellers, and what do you think can be done to rectify the problem?
To slightly disagree, I think only losing 2 games away from home, I think, on a side that's starting to build a foundation after struggling to stay in the Premier League the last 2 or 3 years, I think A, you've got to try and not get beat, B, concede as little goals as possible, and then after that work forward. A lot of your old managers, your Shankleys and everybody, everything was built on a good foundation back four. We feel we've got a great back four. The next area to develop is, can we get a bit more flair in the side? You know, at the moment we're looking a bit stale in terms of attacking wise, but again we've only conceded 1 tonight. I think we've got the second best defensive record in the league after conceding 60-70 goals last season, so that's a plus. We may start and think about maybe sacrificing 1 or 2 draws to go for wins. 2 wins, 2 defeats gets you 6 points, 4 draws unbeaten only gets you 4 points, so yeah, I mean, there's plenty for us to look at there.
You're quite an experienced footballer yourself, having represented clubs at league and non-league level, and having watched club football at every level from the Premier League to Sunday League, one thing that intrigues me, Stimmo, why do non-league grounds always stink of liniment?
A very good question. I think a lot of our semi-professional footballers, I think they maybe watch the television and think that they've maybe got a knock when they haven't, so they want to get dressed up and they want to get the same treatment as the top players. So now and again they want a load of liniment banged on, and I think that's my theory to that.
Which member of the first team squad would you least like to be stuck in a lift with, and why?
I think our captain Phil Horler won't forgive me in saying this. He's a very bright, shrewd man. He's an excellent footballer, been a great acquisition to the club, but he's better than Paul McKenna at putting anybody to sleep when he's talking.
You've got in the first game of the new year, it's a local derby against Barrow. How do you feel the local derbies affect the club? Do you get yourself built up more often than do the fans get more built up?
Certainly, yeah. I mean, ever since I was a player, there's nothing better than a derby game to get you going. Barrow, massive club. When I was a player, enjoyed my time there probably as much as anywhere else.
I've ever been, and they're massively supported. So I'm looking forward, certainly on a personal point of view, because I think there'll be over 1,000 people on here at the Giant Axe, and it's nice to see it full, especially with a new stand being finished by them. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that one immensely.
If you were to become a player again and Barrow and Marine came in for you, which club would you join?
Well, I know Rowley Howard very well. Definitely Barrow. No disrespect, Rowley.
Morecambe play Hucknall Town at Christie Park, fully aware that the Unibond League side are capable of causing an upset. The Nottinghamshire-based club were watched by scouts from Morecambe as they defeated title chasers Emly 2-0 last weekend. And Morecambe will still be without defender Mark Wright, who underwent an operation on a long-term ankle injury last Monday. Meanwhile, Morecambe's record signing Andy Milner has joined Barrow on a month's loan spell. The striker has joined the Holker Street outfit in an attempt to reach match fitness, after being sidelined with cruciate ligament damage for over a year. The deal is not expected to be made permanent, as Shrimps manager Jim Harvey still regards Milner as a vital member of the squad. Scotland defender Colin Hendry's revealed that he would like the opportunity of becoming a player coach at Blackburn, though Colin Todd remains the favourite to secure the position. The Rangers defender has been one of the names strongly linked with the vacant manager's post at Ewood Park since the departure of Brian Kidd, although chairman Jack Walker is believed to be looking for an experienced man at the helm this time around. The news comes as reports suggest that Dave Bassett is believed to have turned down the vacant manager's position at Blackburn. Bassett, who's just 3 months into a three-year contract at Barnsley, is reported to have opted to stay at Oakwell.
There's been mixed performances from our teams in Booster this week as their term nears an end, with several in-form sides suffering unexpected defeats on Wednesday. The men's basketball team, who hadn't been defeated since their first game of the season, played away at Salford with high hopes of continuing their good run of form. But while they notched up a respectable 58 points, it was a good Salford side which came out as victors by putting 73 on the board. The men's side still look likely to progress to the knockout stages after Christmas, but it now seems unlikely that they will live up to the pinnacle of excellence set by last year's side. Another side who would have been hoping for a more positive results on their travels was the men's hockey team, who were entertained by UMass. In a close game, UMass eventually ran out 3-2 winners to end some good recent form for Lancaster, who now go into the knockout tournaments in the new year. Positive reflections on the past 7 weeks, however, are easily seen in the form of the men's rugby first team, who ended the term undefeated by thrashing Humberside by 53 points to nil. While it may be too early to speak of end-of-season trophies, this is a side which seems to be riding the crest of a wave and will be very hard to beat throughout the year. Success on a national level cannot be far away. The men's football first team finished an indifferent term by hammering the University of Northumbria at Carlisle 10-1 at home. If this form could have been captured earlier in the year, then a better league finish would have been possible. As it is, they will have to concentrate on capitalising on this attacking brilliance after Christmas. One team that will be hoping to forget this year, much like last, is the University lacrosse team, who suffered their worst defeat of the season so far, 38-0 away to Loughborough. A tie at home against Crewe on Wednesday will end their term, though not necessarily their season. Last year they qualified for the national knockout stages despite not winning a single game on the field. If Crewe don't show up, who knows, could happen again. In the Carter Shield, Fylde, Foreland, Cartmel and Furness all won through to the semi-finals of the Aero Bowl tournament this weekend. With second place Pendle already knocked out, Cartmel will almost certainly go further ahead at the top of the tournament table.
Bailrig
87.7
FM.
Bailrig FM's entertainment update. Your essential guide to what's on in Lancaster.
We are controlling transmission.
Hi, this is Ashley Richards with your entertainment roundup for the week ahead. For the best and worst of the 80s, get yourself down to the Sugar House tonight for a laugh. There's a live DJ playing silly tunes at Keystone, or if you prefer a loud night on campus, the traditional shite disco is on at Grisdale. On Saturday night, it's Sundays for sleeping at the Sugar House, or for a quieter evening, the Film Society is showing Waking Ned. It's quiz night at Furness Bar at 8:30 on Sunday, with a gallon of beer to be won. There's lots of singers, bands and other entertainment going on in Market Square leading up to the switch on of Lancaster's Christmas light at 4:30. On Monday, it's student night at Elemental, or the Friary and Firkin has the best of the 70s. Pendle Bar has karaoke and a disco on Tuesday night. Our Walkabout has an 80s tribute band at 9:30 after the live match Leeds versus Leicester. Wednesday night is Carlton night with the traditional cheesy disco and lots of cheap drinks. On Thursday, Walkabout has a live band, Big Time Stateside, or Rob the Gob is DJing at the Blob Shop with a combination of comedy and music. If you're feeling up to it, Pendlebar has the Gallon Challenge. To finish the week off, get yourself down to the Sugar House for Ian Cognito at the Comedy Club, followed by Foxy. For those of you who aren't that energetic, there's plenty of good films out right now. The Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis is one of the cleverest films I've seen for a while. It keeps you on the edge of your seat throughout, and the ending is a real surprise. You have no idea what's really happening until the credits roll. For those of you who like blood and gore in your horror films, though, the spooky spirits will make you laugh rather than scream. That's on at the ABC with The World Is Not Enough and Tarzan. The Film Society is also showing Life is Beautiful tonight, The Thomas Crown Affair on Sunday and Monday, and The 39 Steps on Wednesday.
Bailrig FM's Entertainment Update. Your essential guide to what's on in Lancaster.
Bailrig FM.
The week's top stories.
End in sight for Anglo-French beef ban. £40 million redevelopment for Lancaster under threat. Armed robbery committed at local bargain booth store, and Lancaster students march on London in protest of fees.
Bailrig FM News is produced and presented by the Bailrig FM News team. Next scheduled update is on top of the hour.
87.7 Bailrig FM.